Today, banks behaving badly or something more? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today, I want to discuss what's going on with US bank Wells Fargo and also look at banks in the UK who stopped customers transferring money to crypto exchanges. And first, US bank Wells Fargo & Co. is shutting down all existing personal lines of credit and will no longer offer the product to its customers, angering some of its customers, according to a report by CNBC. Founded back in 1852 by Henry Wells and William G. Fargo, it's one of the major US retail banks. In an effort to simplify our product offerings, we've made the decision to no longer offer personal lines of credit, as we feel we can better meet the borrowing needs of our customers through credit cards and personal loan products, the bank said in an emailed statement. We realize change can be inconvenient, especially when customer credit may be impacted. The portfolio is part of Wells Fargo's broader personal lending book, which was around $5 billion at the end of March. The breakdown of personal loans versus lines of credit within that portfolio was not revealed. The bank said it's been providing existing customers with 60-day notices that their accounts will be closed with a fixed rate and minimum payment for the remaining balances. Under Chief Executive Officer Charlie Schwab, Wells Fargo has been exiting businesses deemed inessential with the goal of simplifying operations and improving profitability following years of scandals. Earlier this year, the bank agreed to sell its asset management and corporate unit trusts, and last year it agreed to divest its $10 billion private student loan book. Last year, Wells Fargo said it would temporarily stop accepting applications for home equity lines of credit, following a similar move by rival JP Morgan Chase & Co. That move was part of the lender's navigation of the economic impact of COVID-19, a company spokesman said at the time. The bank, which has used loans for new and used car purchases, also told hundreds of independent auto dealerships that it was dropping them as customers. The existing personal lines of credit, mostly revolving credit lines, which typically let users borrow somewhere between $3,000 to $100,000, were pitched as a way to consolidate higher interest credit card debt, pay for home renovations, or avoid overdraft fees on linked checking accounts. When it was offered, the credit lines had variable interest rates ranging from 9.5% to 21%. Wells Fargo recently reviewed its product offerings and decided to discontinue offering new personal and portfolio lines of credit accounts and to close all existing accounts, the bank said in a six-page letter. The move would let the bank focus on credit cards and personal loans. Wells Fargo CEO Charles Schwab has been forced to make difficult decisions during the coronavirus pandemic, offloading assets and deposits and stepping back from some products because of limitations imposed by the Federal Reserve. In 2018, the Fed barred Wells Fargo from growing its balance sheet until it fixes compliance shortcomings, which were revealed by the bank's fake accounts scandal. The asset cap has ultimately cost the bank billions of dollars in lost earnings based on the balance sheet growth of rivals, including JP Morgan and Bank of America, over the same 3 years, according to analysts. With its latest move, Wells Fargo warned customers that the account closures may have an impact on your credit score. That's according to the Frequently Asked Questions segment of the letter. In another part of the FAQ, they asserted that the account closures wouldn't be reviewed or reversed. We apologize for the inconvenience this line of credit closure will cause, the bank said. The account closure is final. Senator Elizabeth Warren, a frequent critic of the banking industry, denounced Wells Fargo's decision to pull back on the credit lines. Wells Fargo didn't directly answer questions as to what role, if any, the Fed asset cap played in its latest move. But a Wells Fargo spokesman did say, "We realize change can be inconvenient, especially when customer credit may be impacted," adding that it was committed to helping each customer find a credit solution that fits their needs. Customers have been given a 60-day notice that their accounts will be shuttered, and remaining balances will require regular minimum payments at a fixed rate. Now, this move may at first appear to be a strange one, given the banking industry's need to boost loan growth. After a burst of commercial lending during the early days of the pandemic, loan growth has been hard to muster. Corporations have used money raised in stock and debt issuance to retire bank credit lines, and consumers stuck at home and had fewer reasons to use credit cards. In fact, last year, big banks experienced the first aggregate drop in loans in more than a decade, according to Barclays Bank analyst Jason Goldberg. Of the four largest US banks, Wells Fargo saw the worst decline. After banks saw that borrowers held up far better than they'd initially feared, the industry recently began marketing new credit cards with large sign-on bonuses in an effort to boost lending. Wells Fargo doesn't disclose how many customers use the credit lines that it's eliminating, but it had $34.9 billion in loans in a category called other consumers as of March, which was 26% lower than the year earlier period. Now, Binance is one of the biggest firms in the global fintech industry, and Binance US is currently one of the biggest digital currency exchanges in the US. But over in the UK, customers from a number of major banks will no longer be able to send funds from those accounts to Binance, which has been banned from operating in the UK. Barclays stopped payments to Binance on Monday, and NatWest said that last week it had blocked payments to, quote, a small number of cryptocurrency asset firms where we have seen particularly significant levels of fraud-related harm for our customers, without naming Binance. And on Thursday, Santander joined Barclays as the latest British high street bank to block retail customers from sending money to Binance. The bank notified customers that it would stop payments from their accounts to Binance wherever possible, starting from Thursday, but would still allow them to withdraw cash from the exchange. Keeping our customers safe is a top priority, so we've decided to prevent payments to Binance, Santander said. In recent months, we've seen a large increase in UK customers becoming the victims of cryptocurrency fraud. The decision severs another link between traditional financial institutions and the international crypto exchange, which has faced questions from regulators about its compliance standards. HSBC also banned clients from buying MicroStrategy stock on its trading platform due to its exposure to Bitcoin. With complaints of crypto scams soaring, UK banks are taking an increasingly hostile stance towards crypto assets. But underlying all of this was Britain's Financial Conduct Authority, the FCA, earlier announcing that Binance is not permitted to undertake any regulated activity in the UK. The watchdog said that Binance, which is part of the wider Binance Group, cannot undertake any regulated activities without the prior written permission of the FCA. The Binance Group appear to be offering UK customers a range of products and services via a website, binance.com, the FCA statement said. No other entity in the Binance Group holds any form of UK authorization, registration, or license to conduct regulated activity in the UK, the FCA statement said. The move suggests a crackdown on the cryptocurrency industry due to concerns of its potential role in illicit activity, and comes at a time when Binance has come under scrutiny from regulators in many places. Bloomberg reported last month that the US Justice Department and the Internal Revenue Service, who probe money laundering and tax offences, were seeking information from those who may have an insight into the business. And meanwhile, the German financial regulator BaFin also warned in April that the exchange risked being fined for offering digital tokens without an investor prospectus. Binance had previously stated that it takes its compliance obligations very seriously and is committed to following local regulatory requirements wherever we operate. The UK's Financial Conduct Authority has also issued repeated warnings that investors in crypto can lose all of their money. At first sight, the Financial Conduct Authority's move to bar Binance from operating in the UK will have little impact. After all, it won't stop the company's many UK customers from using its exchange, which is based in the Cayman Islands, to buy and sell Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. Nevertheless, the FCA is sending a strong signal that is worried about the dangers of investing in cryptocurrencies in general. And they want all these cryptocurrency exchanges to register because it's concerned about their potential use as a cover for illicit activity, and it wants consumers to be very careful indeed. As well as forbidding Binance from setting up an exchange in the UK, the regulator is ordering its UK division to stop any form of advertising. And more significantly, it has to show the FCA that it has stored records of all its UK customers ready to be handed over if necessary. And there's a message to UK consumers to check whether any crypto company is registered with the regulator and, if it isn't, to consider withdrawing their assets. The FCA cannot stop people from trading in cryptocurrencies, but it has got out its biggest red flag and is waving it vigorously. This isn't the first time that Binance has come under scrutiny by regulators over its global operations. The exchange is under pressure from authorities around the world over its sprawling crypto operations, including a criminal complaint in Thailand and regulatory scrutiny in Canada, Japan, and the Cayman Islands. In the US, one of the firm's entities, Binance Holdings, has been subject to a probe by the US Securities and Exchange Commission, specifically by its officials dealing with money laundering and tax offences, according to Bloomberg. The SEC issued a similar warning to US consumers in April about the platform. And recently, Binance announced that it was pulling out of Ontario, Canada, after the Ontario Securities Commission accused it and several other crypto trading platforms of failing to comply with regulations. And Japan's Financial Services Agency warned Binance for the second time in 3 years that it's operating in the country without permission. Binance said that it would no longer be able to deposit funds through one of Europe's main payments networks, the Single Euro Payments Area, the SEPA, because of, quote, events beyond our control. And Binance has also stopped providing sterling deposits through a big UK payments network, Faster Payments, that provides quick transfers between the country's banks. One service Binance offers is the ability to use local currency to purchase digital currencies, known as fiat on-ramp in the industry. In mid-June, Binance's US partner Silvergate Bank decided to stop processing US dollar deposits and withdrawals for the firm, according to CoinDesk. And while the crypto exchange says its entities are not all connected to it, which is a handy tactic for avoiding regulatory problems, the real problem with cryptocurrency exchanges, of course, is that they are still centralized in that there is still a central authority that takes custody of the user's money almost like a bank. Of course, this is counter to what the cryptocurrency and blockchain technologies were designed to do. And perhaps all exchanges should be totally decentralized, which would enable users to have complete control over their digital coins. In an open letter published on Wednesday, Binance CEO Changpeng Zhao said he viewed more regulations as positive signs that an industry is maturing and hoped to reiterate our commitment to partner with regulators. Now, both Wells Fargo and Binance begs a bunch of wider questions. On one hand, are banks being too high-handed, suddenly withdrawing credit services or payment services in the interests of their customers? Or is there something else going on here? Are they being lent on by regulators? Or is this part of a broader question about the future of financial services? It's probably all of those. But to me, Wells Fargo is more a local issue in the US simply because of their strategy and their available access to capital. Whereas the UK developments with Binance is much more significant insofar that there is clearly a rising tide. And that tide is being driven by regulators who want people, one, to understand that cryptocurrencies are highly risky, and two, to understand that non-regulated entities are unable to offer services. That, of course, implies centralized regulation and control. And that, of course, is an anathema to cryptocurrencies. But the bottom line for me is this. The question we should be considering is how much of a duty of care does banks have to their customers? And when they make decisions, quote, on behalf of their customers, unquote, and there are ramifications, what obligations should they have? And what about the impact on those individual customers who might be quite happy to transfer funds to a crypto exchange or were relying on the withdrawal of credit from a revolving credit facility? In both cases, it seems to me that once again, banks are being high-handed and are not really considering the impacts of their decisions on their customers. But there again, nothing new there, you might say. And finally, I will just underscore again that the world of cryptocurrencies remains highly volatile, highly risky, and if you are involved in transactions to non-regulated entities, wherever they may be, the chances are you will lose your money. That is just the nature of things. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.